Baker, kind enough to join us on the program.
Bill, what's happening today, man? How are you enjoying the Rocky Mountain West?
Great, Keith. I love it out here, to be perfectly honest with you. My family, I've got a daughter that lives down here in Denver, and she's been down here, I don't know, 10, 12 years right now, and I try to get out as many times as I can when the schedule allows, and this one just worked out perfectly. I mean, they live about 2.5 hours from Laramie and plan on being up there.
How often, you mentioned you get out here as much, how often would you say you do get out here?
Oh, when I do get out here, generally it's, a lot of times it's over the course of the summer. It's once in a while during basketball, if we have an off date. Every now and again we get to these midweek dates with football. But, Southwest Airlines flies between Chicago and Denver, and we try to make it for 3-4 nights at a time. And it's just a great place. One place I haven't been to much, though, is Wyoming. Only twice in my life, as a matter of fact, have I actually crossed the border into Wyoming. And once was when we played you guys in basketball at a tournament years ago that was up in Casper. And then we snuck into the far northwestern corner of the state at the Yellowstone after a tournament up in Bozeman, Montana, about 5 or 10 years ago. So I'm looking forward to seeing Laramie.
We try to keep people from Colorado out.
Well, see, I'm from Illinois now.
He's from Illinois.
Oh, okay.
He's from Illinois.
Here's the deal.
As long as you don't have a green license plate, you're okay.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I tell you what, I do vote 3 or 4 times in every election, however, being from Illinois, but leave that, for some other time.
Yeah. Bill Baker joining us here in the Sports Zone. You mentioned midweek games for you guys, and that kind of sparked an interest in me because, the Mountain West's kind of flirted around with stuff like that. They haven't gone midweek, but they played some Friday night games. What is, I guess, your feelings on playing Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and those odd nights for college football? I mean, it's been a while for you guys to do that. Have you guys adapted well, and is it worked out well for the MAC?
Well, it's been probably 8-9 years now that we've had this, and generally, our last 4 games generally are midweek games. By midweek with us, they are generally Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We have one at the very end of the season. The season ends on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, so I don't know that we qualify that as a true midweek game. Keith, I'll tell you this. I think we've gotten used to it more than anything else. It's the necessary evil. Roughly 2 of those games are going to be at home. 2 of those games are going to be away. I work with the university, so my travel isn't affected, but the guys I work with have other jobs, and they're the ones that have to find a way to get to Muncie, Indiana, or Athens, Ohio, and then turn around and get back before 7, 8 o'clock the next morning to be at work. As far as the advantages, a lot of times you've got the national TV scene to yourself. I mean, we're talking, it's usually ESPN2. Once in a while, it's ESPNU that will carry the game. The exposure, I mean, I can tell you firsthand, the exposure when you get across the South and into Florida where there's a wealth of talent, NIU coaches, and coaches from the rest of the league used to go down there and met with a little bit of skepticism. But now, since we've had these midweek games, people get a chance to see the quantity of football they have. And recruiting has been an all-time high now down in the southern tier, especially down in Florida, I think, with clubs from the MAC. So, there's good and there's bad. A lot of fans don't like it because DeKalb sits 60 miles west of the Chicagoland area. We've got a lot of alums that like to come out. That's almost impossible on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night to get out there for tailgating. You might make it out for a 6 or 7 o'clock kickoff, but tailgating is almost nil. So you take the good with the bad. I say overall the trade-off is fairly decent.
Coach Carey talked about the comparisons between the Mountain West and the MAC in one of his conference calls earlier this week, and you've seen several Mountain West teams over the last few years, and you'll see another one, maybe the best team in the Mountain West this year in San Diego State later on in the non-conference season. What is your impression of the Mountain West? What kind of sticks out? What kind of things have you noticed about Mountain West teams that you've played?
I tell you what, they are as athletic as anybody that I've seen. I've seen every conference in this country, and the Mountain West, for some reason, let's just start with Boise. We can start with Boise, but we certainly have to finish with Boise. You get out of UNLV. Both you and I played them last year. We had them on day one, and you guys had them, I think, the very last game of the season. We won by 8 at home, and you guys won by 7. And I was impressed with their talent. I was impressed with their speed. That's a club that, I think is up and coming. I've seen what Wyoming's done in years past. You guys are not that far removed from a bowl game. I watched you win the New Mexico Bowl. Believe it or not, I don't know why, that just stuck out. I forget what the year was. Was it right around 2009, 2010?
2009 against Fresno State, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the athleticism in this league is second to none. I think in a lot of respects it's a lot like back also in that it's a quarterback league. You get a really good quarterback, or you put better yet, you put two of them in tandem the way we did with Chandler Harnish and Jordan Lynch over the span of about 7 years, and you've got a chance to make a real run at a mini dynasty right here. The running backs are good. Speed is excellent in this league. It's very much like the MAC, except you guys play this game at elevation, I think, a little bit more than what we do down in the cornfields.
I thought it was interesting when Coach Carey was asked about Brian Hill and said, yeah, they knew about him. They recruited him as a linebacker at Northern Illinois. I guess he made the right decision because, as a junior, he set the single-season rushing record at Wyoming with over 1,600 yards, and, NFL scouts are liking this guy. I guess he made the right decision. Coach Carey said, I guess we missed a little bit on that one.
Well, you know what, at the time, NIU was pretty well set with linebackers. Not that people haven't moved positions. We've got a couple of people on this year's squad that have gone from one side to the other. But it was just a case where he played some pretty good defense down at Belleville as well, and he stood out as a linebacker, and that was a need at that particular point. You know, nice to live the young man. Wyoming's a pretty good distance from Belleville, Illinois. You can't necessarily get here from there all that easily. But he saw the opportunity. And he decided that he was going to go and take a shot, and it has worked out for him. And quite honestly, somebody, I think it was, eighth in the country, if I remember reading the notes over the span of the last couple of weeks. He's as powerful back as anybody. He's tough to stop. He gets going downhill. I saw a little bit of tape on him, and he can move some people out of the way. Yeah, no question he made the right choice, and good things have come his way.
How good is this Shawn Lurie, the cornerback, the All-American for you guys? Coach Bull says he's scary. I mean, quote, scary to go up against. But they can't just focus on one side of the field. But is he that good to cut off basically a side of the field?
You know what? Scary is a good way to term it. I think spooky is a better way because it is almost as if he's in the offensive huddle before they snap the football. He just seems to know when people are going to cut, when they're going to make their break, which way they're going to break, and his timing is just, it's spooky. His timing, his ability to get an arm in front of the receiver and then, tuck the ball away. He might deflect the ball with one arm or touch it initially with one arm, but he'll get it, tucked away with the other arm as well, and then he takes off. But he reads the ball as well as anybody I've ever seen in the defensive secondary, and I was never speculative about it, but he really proved it to me when he had a couple of picks against Ohio State at their place last year. And when I went back and I watched the tape along with the coaches, I thought to myself exactly what I said. I turned to Rod Carey and I says, how did he know where that ball was going to go? And, Rod just kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, that's Shawn. That's what he's developed into. He's got a knack, I think, of just reading the body language of the quarterback, and so much of it. He's told me, too, that he just studies tape hours and hours and hours of different wideouts that he's liable to come up against. And he says he tries to pick up their tendencies. He tries to pick up the situations, where they might go in, where they might go out, and, what his responsibilities are going to be. And so far, it's paid off. And the best thing about it, we get 2 more years to watch this guy, unless maybe the NFL comes knocking out his door, and you just never know after this season. But, he's pretty much as advertised, Keith.
How confident is Coach Carey with the offense this year with the big guys up front? I think 3 offensive linemen returning, the leading rusher in the MAC returning. Drew Harris seems to be healthy. Seems like all signs are pointing to a really good offense for the Huskies this year.
Well, that's been the case 3, 4, 5 years in a row, probably longer than that. This has been a club that's had a lot of success running the football, primarily because of the offensive line. And primarily because they've always had really good quarterbacks who either, A, could run the football themselves and, give a whole different dimension to the game for the opposition, and then, B, quarterbacks who, when they have to, can put the ball in the air. This is a running team, without question. This is maybe as deep a group of running backs, as I can recall, but, well, the past few years anyway. You start with Wanyo. When you look at him, I mean, he's a hefty kind of a guy. He's muscular. You just don't see the speed in him as he's, you know, when he's standing still. But he can certainly get off and get downfield on you pretty quick, too. And then his backup is a guy that hasn't played a lot. We've seen him in Marcus Jones. But the guy that they have listed as the oar on the two deeps was his backup of the better part of last year, Jordan Huff. Now, there's a guy that just, I mean, he can hit the hole as good as anybody, and he can make you miss. And it's pretty good 1-2 and maybe even 1-2-3 punch there. And there's a guy that hasn't been talked about. He's an Indiana transfer, came from the Hoosiers program. His name is Tommy Mister. And he's not even on the depth chart, but he will travel, and he will be with the team. They can't redshirt him, and that's already been done. So he's going to have to contribute somehow, some way. It's a case of, you know, at times you almost wish you could play two running backs and have them both touch the ball on the same play. But, yeah, they're deep. But you know, Rod's very cautious. I'm not so sure he's not a little bit superstitious when it comes to talking about his ball club. He plays everything very, very close to the vest. You know, I do the coaches show with him every week, and there sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get answers out of him. I think, though, deep down inside, I think he's very pleased with how things developed so far. And he'll be the first one to tell you he's not so sure we're ready to play a game yet. And I think every coach in the country says that, except maybe just a handful. He's not so sure we're ready to play a game just yet. But when you consider the fact that he had a pretty good amount of turnover on his staff, including both his offensive and defensive coordinators, and he was able to lure a couple of guys who had been at Northern in different positions back to the service of the coordinators this year. I think he's, to use just a couple of words, I think he's cautiously optimistic. And I'll just kind of leave it at that.
8:30 kickoff Saturday night. We appreciate the time. Bill Baker, NIU play-by-play man. Bill, and have a safe trip up to Laramie, and hopefully we get to run into you Saturday night. Thank you so much.
I would look forward to that. It'll be the visitors' radio booth, so please stop by. And a shout-out, if I may, my son-in-law has relatives up in Grable, Montana. Grable, Wyoming. It's pretty close to Montana. I think it's just east of Cody that way and everything. Right. So one of these days, I hope to get up there, too. I'd really like to spend a little time in. I want to see Devil's Tower, to be honest with you. Seen that the movie for 20 years, you know, The Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But I want to actually go out and see that. So you guys live in a beautiful spot.
Thank you very much. Bill, again, thank you again. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Take care, team.
Bye-bye.